The InStyleOwen podcast is brought to you by Cybionics, an emerging CGM brand that focuses on simplifying how individuals aged 18 and above monitor and control their blood sugar levels. Upon becoming available on the market, the Cybionics GS1 CGM has helped users worldwide navigate the complexities of diabetes management with more confidence and peace of mind. Thanks to Cybionics, now more people are able to view and share their real-time glucose data, receive customizable glucose alarms, and generate full AGP reports, all directly from an intuitive Cybionics app, empowering them with the necessary information to make better decisions about their health. Cybionics combines data accuracy and comfort of wear, which is important to us all, with a feature-rich app. The 14-day scanning-free and calibration-free Cybionics GS1 CGM aims to deliver reliable, seamless diabetes management experiences. For more, check out cybionicscgm.com. This is the InStyleOwen podcast, where I, Owen Costello, try to redefine diabetes. In this week's episode...
When you're old enough to take responsibility for your diabetes management, it's easier because you're the one with it. You know how you feel. You can spot patterns. You can spot trends. But it's a whole different ballgame when you're a parent because you don't live with it. You don't feel it.
But before we get into that, everything you hear on the InStyleOwen podcast is from my own personal experience. And if you have any worries or issues regarding your diabetes, please contact a medical professional. Now, let's get stuck into this episode.
Hello, and welcome back to the InStyleOwen podcast. I hope you're well. I hope the week is treating you well so far. And Graham, it's good to be back. I feel like...
Hello.
You know what? Every time me and you do a podcast, I feel like we haven't done a podcast in ages.
Here we are. Here we are. Now, this recording comes with a little bit of a... There may be drilling in the background as I'm getting a home alarm system installed. So if you hear anything, that's that.
What home alarm system are you getting installed?
Phone watch. I'm looking at their van outside my house now. There we go.
So nobody can break into your house?
No, and I'll steal all my expensive microphone equipment and recording equipment.
Do you have one of those Ring doorbells? I see them all the time.
We're probably going to get one. It doesn't come with this. So we'll probably get it separately.
Yeah.
I tell you, when you buy a house, it's nothing but money, 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 money. Just like more. Like when you live in an apartment block, which I did before, you don't think about security or Ring doorbells or any of this type of stuff. Well, now you're in a house, you're like, oh, we got a bit more responsibility about protecting your property.
And yeah, there's nobody externally looking after those things. Yeah. It's your house. You have to do
it. You're that person. You're like, oh, the oven's broken. Oh, crap, that's me to fix it.
Yeah, it's nobody else to blame it on or to fix it for.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's the responsibilities of being an adult, Graham.
I know. We haven't done one of these episodes in a long time.
We haven't.
Which I think are very good episodes. Because I know there's a few questions that came through in your Q&A on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I want to get going with this one. I find it hard to deal with hypos when dieting. Hypo makes me want to eat the world. How do you cope with that?
Very good question. And definitely something I can relate to because, okay, let's put the word dieting in some sort of context here. I would imagine dieting is probably for this I would imagine this person is dieting to, let's say, lose weight or lose body fat. Let's go with that. So when you are quote unquote dieting or you're trying to lose weight or trying to lose body fat, chances are there's a combination of two things. You're probably consuming less food or less calories, and you're probably doing more exercise. Chances are. So those two things may potentially result in you seeing initially more frequent low blood sugars, because if I'm eating less food, and maybe I haven't actually adjusted my insulin doses to reflect that, maybe the insulin that I'm currently taking is now too much. And then also, if I'm moving more, with the purpose of losing weight or losing body fat. I'm trying to walk more, or maybe I'm training more in the gym or at home. And also, I haven't yet adjusted my insulin to kind of counteract that increased level of movement. My blood sugars are going to be generally pulled lower more frequently initially. So that's something to be aware of first. The vast majority of the time, if you are going through a period where you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to lose body fat, 9 times out of 10, you will likely require less insulin. Because, as I've said, if you're consuming less food or calories and you're doing more exercise, your body typically requires less insulin. And something that I say all the time, and I kind of sound like a broken record, but sometimes you need to be like a broken record for something to be ingrained in your head. Usually, vast majority of the time, more exercise, more movement equals less insulin. Less exercise, less movement generally means you need more insulin because your insulin sensitivity and resistance is changing. Go back to the question again before I go off on one. Just specifically, that's just a general overview before I answer the question specifically.
Dealing with hypos when dieting.
So a challenge with that is obviously when you have a hypo, you have to treat the hypo. That's the absolute priority. But they can be more frustrating because when you treat a hypo, inevitably you're consuming essentially unwanted calories. So if you're actively trying to reduce your calories to lose weight or lose body fat, but you're also seeing more low blood sugars, you're kind of just consuming those calories anyway. Mm. And it can be really frustrating for people because they have the best intentions in the world and they say, I'm going out for a walk today. I'm going to the gym today. I'm actively trying to be more active. But as a result, I'm going low more frequently. And as a result, I'm going to consume more calories that aren't necessarily wanted. So what I do and have done personally in the past when I'm going through a period of trying to lose weight or lose body fat, for example, is I will set aside basically around 200 calories per day for potential hypo treatment just for the first couple of weeks as I'm getting used to my new increased level of movement primarily. So let's say, for example, I'm consuming 2000 calories. For me, that would be a calorie deficit, like a pretty big one. So if I'm consuming 2000 calories to lose weight or lose body fat, I will basically save 200 of those calories for potential hypo treatment. Hmm. So I'll aim initially for 1800 for the day, yep, while focusing on my protein, while focusing on my veg. But I will save about 200 calories if I have a hypo treatment or if I have a hypo, so that the treatment of that hypo, whether it be glucose drink, glucose tablets, etc., doesn't take me out of the calorie deficit that I want to be in. But the main focus for me going through that type of process is, am I adjusting my insulin to accommodate effectively the increased level of exercise? Because like I said, if I go through a fat loss period and I'm training more, moving more, etc., chances are I need to reduce my insulin doses to avoid those lows in the first place.
Unreal. I like that. Good answer. Good answer. Right. We'll move on to the next one. Have you heard of Lantus lows and have you experienced it?
Have I heard of Lantus lows?
Yeah. Lantus.
So presumably Lantus, the insulin, which is actually the long lasting insulin that I take. I haven't heard of, I actually don't think I've ever heard that term. Have we heard that term on the podcast?
I don't think I've ever heard it. And if I haven't heard it, if you haven't heard it, I definitely haven't heard it.
So if I haven't heard of the term specifically, I would imagine it is in relation to being pulled lower consistently from your basal or long-lasting insulin. And I've definitely experienced that. And something we've gone through before is the fact that not all hypos are created equal. Like, not all of your hypos are exactly the same. And for me, it's really important that our hypo treatment varies because of that. And I always try and look at and kind of reframe my hypo treatment essentially as a form of medication, because that's kind of what it is, much like insulin. Even though I take insulin multiple times on a daily basis, I don't take the exact same amount of insulin every single time I take insulin. It can vary based on current blood sugar, what I'm eating, that type of thing. A few different factors too. Mm-hmm. But I look at hypo treatment the same. Yes, of course, like I've said earlier, the absolute priority is to treat the hypo. But for me, the second priority is to avoid the massive rebound high. So because of that, that means that my hypo treatment may vary depending on the hypo that I have. Sometimes you're like crashing down to the ground and you need more. Sometimes you're just dipping slightly under that in range line, and maybe I only need like 2 glucose tablets as opposed to 4 or 5. So that Lantus low, I would imagine, is down to you being pulled lower consistently with your background insulin. Because basically your background or your long lasting or your basal insulin's job is to pretty much keep you relatively flatlined. The analogy that I use, it's like my Lantus that I take on a daily basis, it's supposed to almost act like an anchor for my blood sugar, kind of keep me in place throughout the day, particularly overnight, particularly when I'm fasted. Now, again, going back to that Lantus low term, if your basal is too high consistently, you're going to be pulled lower consistently because it's active in your system for, depending on your insulin, but Lantus specifically should be active in your system for about a 24-hour period. So if the background insulin that I take is essentially too much over a 24-hour period, sometimes you go low, you treat the low, and you just continue to dip and dip and dip and dip and dip. And it's almost like your blood sugar kind of bounces throughout the day because you're always trying to keep it up. Because my background is too high and I'm just being pulled too low. It's like the anchor is pulling me too low consistently, which is a different type of low compared to a fast-acting insulin low. Because generally, if you go low with your fast-acting insulin, you will treat the low and you won't just continue to be pulled lower, because your fast-acting insulin will usually only be active in your system for like 3-4-ish hours and then it kind of runs its course. Whereas if my basal is just much too high and I'm constantly being pulled low throughout a 24-48-hour period, it feels horrendous. And you're constantly trying to fight lows. So that's what I would imagine the Lantus low term is.
Just thinking, not bad for a man who didn't really understand what it was. You were still able to give a, yeah, a pretty concise, yeah, and informative answer.
Well, that's what I definitely say it is. Now, I would argue it's probably not just with Lantus specifically, because all basal insulins essentially are to serve the same purpose. So if your basal insulin is far too high, it's going to have the same effect. You're still going to be pulled lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And you're going to constantly need to try and kind of top yourself up throughout the day. But maybe because it's kind of alliteration, Lantus low sounds better. Yep. But Levemir low could also be. But yeah, that's what I'd say it is. And yes, I have experienced it. And what I would do to avoid it is essentially reduce it. Like if my 24-hour period or my 24-hour dose of Lantus currently is 24, I take 12 units at 10, 12 units at 10 a.m. and p.m. If I am experiencing a Lantus low and I'm being pulled down too consistently, what I'll do is I'll reduce my 24-hour dose by 2 to 3 units, leave it for 1, 2, 3-ish days to see if it works. and then stick with it. That's a pretty general approach I would take.
Question number three comes from a parent, I presume. How come some days my child eats exactly the same food, but bloods are completely different?
Good question. And also, just a very difficult thing to manage and to deal with. Like, and I know we've touched on it in this podcast loads of times before. When you're old enough to take responsibility for your diabetes management, like it's easier because you're the one with it. You know how you feel. You can spot patterns. You can spot trends. You feel what highs and lows feel like, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a whole different ball game when you're a parent because you don't live with it. You don't feel it. And it's you trying to help another person who is also a child who, you know, is different to an adult. So I can only imagine how difficult that is. But to go back to the question, like it can depend on the age of the child as well. But when we're kids and when we kind of come into our teen years with boys and girls, there's huge, huge, huge changes in hormones. And that in itself can and will impact blood sugar readings, can and will impact sensitivity and resistance and the amount of insulin that you require. So that in itself can be a big challenge and could well be a reason as to why things are different. But also as well, just like normal day-to-day things will impact it. Normal things like going to school and having different emotions throughout the day, being stressed or not stressed. Adrenaline, no adrenaline. Different levels of activity that the child or teenager may be doing on a daily basis. These things aren't as, like, I kind of look at them as under the surface type of variables, because it's like, even though my food is exactly the same, even though my insulin dose is exactly the same, on purpose, or not on purpose, on paper, the result should be the same. But it rarely is exactly the same, because even though your days can look and seem the same, they can be so different with those elements kind of, or the factors under the surface. How well you slept the night before, how stressed you are today. Are you dehydrated or not? Like, is adrenaline pumping through your system at different periods of the day? What's your activity like? And these are all things that can and will impact blood sugar, but are more difficult to spot. And again, more difficult to spot if it's not your diabetes, because you're not as aware of them. So with that, like for me, it's always just kind of trying to be as aware as possible. And even though things on the surface may be the same with the food and the insulin, but looking at how has my activity changed? How has my stress changed? How has my night sleep changed? How has my water intake changed? So these are things that I would just look out for and try and pay attention to see if there's any pattern or trend with it. Also, kind of lastly on that point, and I know it's kind of generalized as well, but it's very easy for us to think we are being more accurate with food than we actually are. And the example that I always think of, it's like, if you have a bowl of pasta beside another bowl of pasta, they may look like pretty similar by eye, but there could easily be a difference of 10, 20, 30 grams of carbohydrate. Easy. Without you even realizing visually. And the thing about diabetes is it's a very precise condition in terms of how you react to food that you eat and insulin that you take. And generally speaking, 10 grams of carbohydrate unaccounted for with insulin usually will spike you about 3 or 4 millimoles. So for example, if my blood sugar is at 5 and I consume 10 grams of carbohydrate without taking insulin, that should typically bring me up to about 8 or 9. Okay. So if we go back to the example of my two bowls of pasta. Even though they may look exactly the same just by eye, if there's a difference of 10, 20, 30 grams of carbohydrate that's unaccounted for, it can easily be the difference between our blood sugar staying in range or our blood sugar spiking up 10 millimoles. And that in itself can cause confusion, because we can say to ourselves, well, the meal is exactly, and I'm not saying this is what this parent is doing, I'm just saying it's important to be aware of it. We can be under the impression that those two bowls of pasta were exactly the same. Like, it's the exact same bowl of pasta that I had yesterday and I stayed in range. But today I'm spiking up to 15. When in reality, if it's only done by eye, it's so easy to be off by 10, 20, 30 grams of carbohydrate, maybe even more. So what I always say and what I reiterate to myself is, it's unrealistic to believe that we can track everything we eat perfectly every day of the week, because it's just not going to happen. Time constraints, being in school, being in work, being in different people's houses, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have the luxury of time, if you're at home, try and track your food as accurately as possible, because accurate tracking essentially equals more accurate results, blood sugar wise. So that's something that I'd also be aware of, because that can cause frustration if we feel like we're really accurate when in reality we're actually not that accurate. And that's when we can kind of have the self-doubt creeping in of, you know, are my ratios correct? Is my timing correct? Kind of second guessing yourself, when in reality it could just come down to how accurate your food tracking is. I think that answers the question.
No, bang on. I'll finish on two quick ones. One from a Maeve. Do you love Bray?
I knew you were going to read out that. Do I love Bray? I love Bray. Bray is my favorite town in the world. And it's nice to be back.
And the second last one, or the last one.
I wonder what this one's going
to
be.
From my radio pal to my podcast pal, Nathan O'Reilly, what's your favorite rom-com on?
Well, I'm not surprised that he asked the question like that. My favorite rom-com.
Can I tell you behind it? We were doing the radio show yesterday, and he was like, oh, you're recording with Owen tomorrow, I see. And I go, yeah. I go, I'm going to put in a question to your podcast. So I could see he was thinking for ages.
My favorite rom-com. I'm not a massive rom-com fan, but I don't even know if this is a rom-com or not, but I watched over Christmas Serendipity. Did you ever see that?
Serendipity. The one
in New York. And it's about the couple that meet each other and then they kind of split up and they think, will we ever see each other?
Yeah, it's got romance comedy here on Google.
And there's a restaurant in New York that is actually featured in the movie called Serendipity too. But great movie. If you haven't seen it, Graham, put it on the weekly planner.
One of my favorite ones, it's a more recent one, but I did watch the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell, Anyone But You, and it is a great rom-com. It is a funny movie. Very, very funny. I wasn't expecting it to be as funny. I thought it was going to be cringe, but it's excellent. Really, really good. Anyone But You. It's that one that is getting massive publicity just because Sydney Sweeney has kind of exploded on the scene now and everybody loves Sydney Sweeney. And there was rumors
that the blonde one
Powell,
that was in that, the what's that show called?
Euphoria.
No, another one.
Blonde one that was in the show.
It was like I think I know the one you're talking about, anyway.
But that one, honestly, watch that. If you're looking for something that's going to kill about an hour and a half to 2 hours, but it's actually a good watch. Kind of like Wedding Crashers / Meet the Fockers vibes. Not as outrageous as that, but I wasn't expecting it to be what it was when I watched it. And they're both very funny in it. Very funny.
Maybe I should lock that in for this evening.
Give it a go.
Maybe.
Give it a go.
We should turn this podcast into like a rom-com review podcast.
I think we should. Listen, a little pivot.
Yeah.
Why not?
Change it all.
Why not?
Four years. That would be my goat. I think that's probably the only one I can remember and think of. Serendipity. Watch it. It's
nice.
Great.
Nice.
A tearjerker at the same time too.
Oh,
in a nice
okay.
way.
All right.
Any more questions? We leave it at that. I think that was a nice, concise episode.
Well, two very important questions there at the end. So good that we had the time to get them in there.
True. I'll try and research them a bit more. We can do more rom-com stuff next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice.
Right, Graham, good to see you.
You too, won't.
Listener, good to speak to you. Have a good day. Have a good week. Look after your blood sugar. Implement if you learn something from this podcast. That's the most important thing. You can learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. But if you don't actually implement anything you learn, it makes no difference. Keep that in mind. Have a good day. Take it easy.